pledge anything, if you pledge dollars more, you can get tickets to Hype Man, which I'm telling you, I haven't stopped thinking about that place since I saw it. Now I'm going to talk to the people who made me stay up all night and think about all this. And so I want to welcome to the show, and I think I'm really happy that we're doing this. Of course, I can't find everything right now. I want to welcome to the show. Hang on. It's coming. Ah, there we go with my questions. There you are. All right, I want to thank you. Welcome to the show. Somebody who's been on here before, and I enjoyed talking to him then, and I'm sure it's going to be enjoyable now, and I enjoyed what he did in this play. His name's Matthew Hancock. Matthew,
hello.
Welcome to the show.
Hi.
Say, hey, guys, how you doing?
Hey, what's going
yeah,
on?
Yeah, right, yeah. Been a while. I'm glad I'm back.
Yes, I am. I'm happy to be back. Yes.
And Chad Addison, who plays Pinnacle.
Yes, hi. Yeah. Thank you.
Uh-huh. And by the way, Matt plays, and I can call you Matt, or do you prefer Matthew?
You can call me Matt.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, I feel special now.
Yeah, it's a special honor.
There you go. All right, and Matt plays Verb, the hype man. And also here is Clarissa Tebow.
Yeah, you got it.
Okay, I told you that little bit of time.
I know.
Well, that long time I spent in New Orleans. I don't remember half of it. Anyway, and her character is Peep One, and she's the DJ.
Mm-hmm.
Well, welcome to the show, folks.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.
Yeah, let's jump into it. Who wants to take this first? Tell people what this play is about.
Ooh.
it's about a hip hop group first and foremost that's on the verge of making it in today's day and age. Basically gets thrown for a loop when I don't want to go by what the book says, but a black teen is shot by police and basically from that inciting incident, the whole conversations and arguments start and we're faced with talking about things that we don't really necessarily want to talk about as friends, that we haven't really talked about too much in depth, and basically after that it gets into facing those uncomfortable truths, me as a white person, Verb as a black man, and Clarissa as mixed race, and we kind of clash heads. And they're trying to overcome that and stay together as friends in a hip hop group and not let things fall apart.
Okay, anybody want to add anything?
The show it's got a lot of themes of compromise and the inability or ability to find compromise with people that you love, and it brings up a lot of aspects of conversations that I think everyone's having, not just in relation to what we're necessarily talking about in the play, but in general. I mean, I think a lot of people have family members and friends who have different perspectives than them, and being able to go into those conversations both with your own bias and without it at the same time, learning to listen.
Yeah. And in each, the ultimate conversation that this kind of begs of us is what do we do as a country and as a people when one of us, and it might be a person of color, when the police have over policed an area or to bring up the conversation of race in this context in a 21st century model. I think a lot of times people always want to put race issues and that sort of thing as the thing of the past, but really it's transformed into what we are, which is we're a group of different bodies and colors, and when one of us something happens to in relation to police violence, it really happens to all of us, and I think that's the thing that we have to start getting rid of, that differentiation, that it's not just a black kid, it's a kid. And we have to always explore the option that maybe the police got it wrong.
Yeah. One of the things, unfortunately, most of the time these days when you're looking at this, I don't think the cops have any right to shoot anybody. I really don't. I mean, I think this point of, you look at the number of people. I was just looking at something in Chicago and the number of people who have been slaughtered over just the last period of time for, nothing.
Mm. Yeah.
One young kid was he was just gunned down, just body riddled with bullets, and the police all walked, and you're looking at this, and it happens here, it happens everywhere, and it's the kind of thing that I thought actually this play was really, it's really interesting in terms of what it posits for people. Because on one level, when people first meet you and your characters, when they first meet you, it's sort of like, I mean, you know, I wasn't sure, I was, I'll tell you, Clarissa, I was like looking at what, you know, when you came in and you're playing around with all this stuff, I'm thinking, okay, this is cool. But you were like, you were very confident, but you were also kind of a little, you know, and it's weird because you were confident, but and part of that confidence was actually like really putting yourself out, what you were thinking. But also there was a certain, you know, hesitation that was involved in it too. And then I have to say, with Chad, what the hell got into you? No. I mean, because you did a really good job at portraying that character and all the conflict that he's in and that the whole group is in. You know, there's a thing that it's that, you know, understanding that this is your chance to, in a certain extent, this is your chance to actually break out of the neighborhood and what you grew up in. Mm-hmm. But it also, to do that requires doing something that is sort of not what you normally might want to do, you mm-hmm. know, or you might want to think. And I'm looking at you. I have to tell you, Chad, it's like I look at you and your character in there, and I was really happy to see that character.
Oh, yeah. Matthew.
Because it was basically Matthew, I'm sorry. Matthew, I've interviewed before, so there you go. And anyway, Matthew,
we look similar.
And you just sat there and let me go on.
No, because I knew what you meant. Maybe they did, but the chat clears up. It's fine.
It's fine. So anyway, Matt.
Yes.
Here's the thing. Your character from the very beginning. Mm. I mean, on the one hand, was actually faced with a lot of stuff. A lot of things that were going on in his life. But from the very beginning, your character basically stood on the right side of things, you know, which I thought was, and I thought that was really important. Let's talk about that some.
Yeah, I think the interesting thing about playing Verb is that I come in with a new knowledge of self. The history of my character is that I'm always inebriated and not really facing things. And then when you sort of wake up to truths, you know what I mean? And you know, that sort of rebellious nature that you had against yourself, now you can, because you've centered yourself, you actually have a higher purpose. And I think that this event in the story ignites Verb and he starts to have righteous anger instead of just the anger of the situation that a lot of people do, because mm-hmm. a lot of people don't do that sort of soul searching or therapy, if you will.
You know, one thing that this thing with where the police have killed this black youth, and it really does put everyone right in the middle of this world that has changed dramatically overnight, you know, or in a minute. It's mm-hmm. changed. It's changed dramatically for everybody. Mm-hmm. For the three of you, you actually had a whole, you know, thing you were going on, a path you were going on, mm-hmm. and things were looking like they were going to go up. And even with what you're talking about in terms of the uncertainty of your character and whatnot in relation to this, or the anger that's like out there. And I don't know. I mean, it stemming from a lot of different things, you know. Yeah. And the fact that one thing is that even with, you know, and I was thinking about this really just watching the three of you. There's an element in the beginning of even with this, with the Tonight Show and stuff mm-hmm. like that. Mm-hmm. You know, and I have to say, for me, the Tonight Show, you know, if someone's going to put me on a show, I'd be bummed out about that, because, you know, it's fine,
yeah.
But it's actually the seriousness with which you were thinking and the things you were confronted with, and then you're going on this show and it's a walk down to sort of like acceptable, you know, like there's acceptable hip hop, you know, which is sort of really not the kind of stuff you want to listen to, you know.
So. And it's not really what the hip hop started as a protest. It started out of neighborhoods of people who were disenfranchised, and the way that they could fight back was with the music. So that's the essence of hip hop, and I think nowadays, because it does have its hypnotic effects, people like to dumb it down a little bit more.
It's popular now. It's mainstream now. Mm-hmm. Like, essentially, in quotations, anybody can do it. So it's taken on a whole new life mm-hmm. in society. Where, I mean, you still see artists who are connected to the original, you know, soul of hip hop, where they're speaking their poetry, they're speaking their truth, they're speaking their protests and out against things that are happening. But I mean, now you can also hear hip hop that's completely disconnected with anything that's happening politically in society.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, one thing is and this is the thing that sort of got me very heavily, because I think what you're saying is important, but I also think that, look, there's a universality in terms of the whole scene there. You know, there's like, you know, people can talk about what brings people into hip hop, you know, but this play is talking about something much more than just what brings them into hip hop. It's like, well, what do you do with that once once you're there?
Exactly. Because, you know, exactly.
So that's what got to me a lot, because I kept thinking, like, you know, that's the thing your character is plagued with. You know, it's a, and I'll get this, Chad, or no, I'll say Matt. So listen. anyway, but that's what gets your character really, you know, your character is really cemented into one way of looking at things. And in a way, it's kind of the way that the system would actually like people to go in.
You know? Oh, wow, that's interesting. Yeah.
Well, what did you think about
that? No, don't hit me. That's an interesting point. I feel like, you know, I mean, Pinnacle does not want to think about these kind of things. He even says that in the play, but he's very focused on making it and music and what they've worked so hard for. So when this thing happens, and Verb wants to, you know, do something about it, you know, justifiably, Pinnacle does not want that to get interfere with what he's working on and as a group. But I think it's good that he's kind of forced to get involved, and then, you know, even though it doesn't really, you know, get there, I mean, at the end we kind of see a coming together.
And also too, the beautiful thing about this play is that it puts these two friends, these two brothers, who for all in semblance of purpose have had the same upbringing, except that one has the privilege of being white and can move, and still, even in his poverty, can still move about as a white man, whereas the system and the systems that are in place keep Verb in a particular position or place. And that's essentially like what happens. I mean, we can grow up in the same environments and we can do the same things, but like at the end of the day, there are harsher judgments on me than there are on you, simply because of the color of my skin. And that's some of the soul and essence of this play in Verb's reckoning with Pinnacle. With that, is that, like, you know, we as much as I'd like to, we are not the same. Mm-hmm. It's not the same for us. And when it goes to the music, you know, there's also the beautiful thing that we're dealing with, like, you know, there's like a dream aspect, you know what I mean? Like, everybody has a goal or a dream, and so we are also there, but there are higher goals and higher dreams and higher missions that I think Verb ultimately wants to elevate to and wants Pinnacle to come with him, because they've always done this thing together.
Mm-hmm. Now, interestingly enough, Verb and Pinnacle want each other to come together and be out there. But I have a question here. What happened to Peep One? Because that's actually one of the other, you know, and exactly, that's the way it comes out in the play. Is like, actually, Peep One is actually one going back and forth from what she thinks and what she doesn't think. But actually is also sort of, you know, the person who actually can, and then basically speaks to how she sees things, you know. Although I still think the character is, you know, I thought it was really hard to play that character because it had a lot going one way, but then also it's a lot of the uncertainty too.
I mean, she has a lot to think about. It's Peep One is this very smart contract for hire almost that comes into this boys club. Verb and Pinnacle already have this amazing relationship and their way of doing things musically. And Peep One comes in, she makes amazing beats. But for her, it is this thing of when this teen is shot, she feels for it, but at the same time, she wants to eat. And it's this, they have this chance of being on the Tonight Show and making, you know, making that leap into something greater for their careers, which is something they've been working towards this whole time. But also understanding that, well, there is a kind of responsibility when you do have a platform like that to use it for change. So it is interesting playing her because she is listening so intently to both sides and trying to find where does she fall in the middle. Mm-hmm. Does she fall in the middle?
Mm-hmm. And should she fall in the middle? Because the middle is not a good place to be.
But I feel like many people are in the middle.
I think most people are in the middle.
Reflecting, you know.
Yeah, because, I mean, that's life, right? Yep, there's things that there's maybe things that are morally, you know, of course you want to be on the morally on the right side, but inherently we all want certain things. We all have dreams that we've been chasing our whole lives. Do you drop that? Do you continue to fight? Can you do both?
Right.
You know,
do you want to get involved in this conversation that you might not know too much about, or, you know?
Yeah. Like, do you know it before you have a solidified position?
Yeah.
Finding where you fall, you know, before you can make that decision.
Yep. Well, we can ask Verb about that.
Well, it's clearer for me.
You got the name now.
No, it's clearer for me. Because, like I said, I think, you know, I come into this play clear. And the event ignites a purpose that becomes larger than myself. And I think that's the best way to describe the transformation, if you will.
Which we'll be careful about. We won't ruin it for everybody.
Yeah.
But go ahead.
No, I was just, go ahead.
No, it's important because, see, this is the thing. It's like you're looking at this, and I thought that this is actually, and I don't know, I was not familiar with his work earlier on this, you know, his other work on this. And I was really moved by what has been done in relation to this play, where you have, where it's never clear to people, even so, like you're watching each character try to work out their own individual thing. But then there's a point, and I think this is where your character, Matt, comes in and says, and actually serves as a compass to a certain extent.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also one that has to be fought for, because, you know, your best friends are sort of like not really there.
Yeah.
You know, and I was thinking about, you know, what is this man's name? Idris Goodwin. Idris Goodwin. When he talks about, you know, this play and the other plays that he's written, and it's clear he has a sense of hip hop, but he also, there's a way that I was reading some of the stuff he was saying. He has that sense, but he also has the sense of sort of, you know, he pulls in a little bit, so it becomes a more, you know, sort of a smaller thing than it actually is in the world. And when you think about this, I mean, look, I know for my son, hip hop is sort of the, you know, that was his world. And you know, and he's going on 40 now. He's like 37 or something now. But, you know, it's still, hip hop is what drives him. That's what he really liked. You know, that's what he lives for. And it made him seek out a job, a career that he could actually, where he works with a lot of kids. And that's the actual avenue that they work through and all this stuff. And it's, you know, and it's really interesting. But at the same time, one of the things I really liked about this play is that Idris makes it, you step back, and it makes it both bigger but more focused as well,
right?
Mm-hmm. Because you're talking about something very different, you know, and it comes, it sort of can be, the initial seeing it can be what we're talking about earlier, but then there's something very deep in terms of how this affects all of humanity. What kind of stand do you take? There's actually a morality play kind of thing going on here, you know, which is really important, so.
And it's a micro to the macro conversation. I mean, you have three very distinct points of view that I think are representative, not of all, but of most,
especially
in this country, be it mixed race, female, black, white. Like there's a beautiful thing that he's done where he's given voice to three. And I'm going to say for the gender and mixed race, that's two. Different perspectives, you know what I mean, from which people can find themselves in and then work from that place. Because I think what I got the sense from in talking to people about this show is that everybody kind of latches on to a character and kind of follows them. And then at some point you follow all of us, which is how it was relayed to me. And I think that's to watch this as an audience member, I think that's what you have to look forward to for sure.
Well, that's even, the beauty of it too.
Yeah. And even in rehearsing the show, there were so many times where we would stop rehearsing and recount instances that were so similar to what we were saying in the play. These conversations that are in the play are conversations we have with friends and family all the time, especially now. I mean, the circumstances that they're in are not unfamiliar.
At all.
Like, they're not unfamiliar at all.
Unfortunately.
Unfortunately, yes. So, you know, getting one of those headlines on your phone, you know, it pops up. You see, again, another person is shot, and it's unjust. and you fall into those same conversations over and over again. So it's very familiar in that sense.
But isn't that the thing that actually that the play ends up actually trying to poke a hole into, because it's it's, and it really pushed people to look, think harder. You know, and I think it's really important, because it's just, you know, Chad, like, your character really has to think hard.
Yeah.
You know, really has to think hard, because it's everything you've dreamt of. And, you know, your character comes from a, you know, the, you know, basically, I guess I'm not clear about your character and the background that your character came from.
She's adopted.
Yeah, I know, so she's adopted.
Right. So it is kind of more vague. Peep One is a little bit more mysterious.
Yeah, I always wondered, is Peep One actually Peep One with a dollar sign behind it? No, but not. I'm just being facetious there, but it's just sort of, you don't have any, and I think it's good that way, because actually what then stands out is actually another whole issue that's brought into here, which is what I was getting at earlier, is what happens to women, you know, and you know, which is really important, and I thought that the way you played that out and the complexity of it, and yet at the same time the where you guys have came together towards the end of the play around something very important, you know, which I we're not going to get into that, but I just think it's really important that it developed that way. But there is a sort of thing that goes on where, you know, we're looking at this and we somehow, you know, I was just thinking about this in terms of, I don't know, how many more young black people do we have to hear about or see who've been slaughtered by the police?
That's awful.
Who it's, they pulled out a gun, they did this, they did that, which is bull, you know, and you know, it's like,
well, they pulled out the phone.
Yeah. I mean, they have a phone, or the cops say they have a gun, but the cop can say anybody has a gun.
Right.
You know, and
they don't have to do anything; they just have to be alive.
But it crystallizes what they're trying to, the idea that they're trying to implant in the society of black people. What is that meant to be? And I think that's one thing that's really interesting in this play, is because when dealing with everything else, you're also dealing with that question of, you know, the people themselves, and even for yourselves. You know, different nationalities, different, you know, like your character, like you said, is she black? Is she Puerto Rican? Is she, you know, no, you don't know,
right.
You know, and even that tells something about the existence that people are forced to live in, you know, where things like that can actually happen. Yeah. And you two guys, you were friends, you know, but you actually had, you know, Matt, you had a very different experience, you know, even though you would go to, you know, like there's one scene in there where you talk about, you went to this party and there was all this stuff that happened. And, you know, you point out that Chad's person didn't really have to go through what you had to go through, you know? And then Chad points out that he actually did something that you didn't even know about. So there's all this stuff that we're operating on one level, but it seems to me that one of the things the play's arguing for is for people to wake up and sort of see that there's a unity here between a lot of all these people that are getting oppressed, and then how do we do something about it?
You know? And to listen to other people's perspectives and what they're saying.
But even more than that, to listen to what's right, you know, and to try to discern what's right, you know. That's the thing I really appreciated about the play.
And take action in the way that you can.
Yeah. And that's really important. I mean, this whole idea of, when it first started out, I was like, oh, come on now. Is this going to be, he's going to be mad at him, and she's going to be mad at both of them, and she's got more funny stuff in her character, but it's like, you know.
Oh, thank you.
You know?
That's always good to hear.
But what? You weren't trying for that?
It's natural.
No, it really is natural. For her, it's natural.
Anyway, basically, we have to, and we're getting the sign that we're going to have to wrap it up really quick, but I just thought that this whole point of, you know, what then emerges there? Because there is this point about, you know, I think there's a point that was mentioned somewhere. I can't remember whether it's Idris mentioned it or who, but this point about there's an element here of people have to step beyond themselves. Everyone has to step beyond themselves. Except that, I thought it was really important that somebody anchored it in terms of both, in both ways, in terms of really saying that, look, it's not acceptable. We cannot be human beings if we turn our backs on this kind of horror.
No.
Whether it's here or anywhere else in the world.
We have to speak up. Everyone has to speak up.
Yeah.
And that was the biggest argument I thought that was really just essential for the play. And I wish we could spend a whole hour doing this. I'll go see it again, pretend I hadn't seen it, and we'll have you back.
Yeah, that works.
See, I have all these, I was up thinking, okay, I'm going to ask him this, because this thing about it forces people, I think, to look at everything they have set up in their life, and then to be confronted with actually, well, what's the reality in the world? Mm-hmm. And then you have to make a decision based on that. You know, and each of you, that's your, and you each do a really, remarkably good job on this, and I think it's incredible. And I'm just going to tell people right now. Now, the play is Hype Man, and it's running, well, February the 23rd it began, and it's running through April 14th. Performances are on Fridays at 8 p.m., Saturdays at 2 p.m. and 8 p.m., Sundays at 2 p.m., and Mondays at 8 p.m., and you're probably going to have to go to the Fountain Theater to remember all that, but it's actually, it's a tremendous play. Do not miss this. And we're actually going to be offering tickets to the play. We have five pairs of tickets to the play that we're going to be offering as part of our fun drive today, and I'll tell you how you can get them when we wrap this up, all right, because I think it's extremely important that people go to see this and talk about it, because it's so, you know, it was interesting when I, after the play, and there were so many people upstairs, and people were just really high off of it to a certain extent. But there was also, and I think the high had, was deserved. But I think it was also, you can't really keep the high if you don't deal with what was low in the beginning, you know, and it's sort of, and it did. That's what the play did. You know, it really wrestled with that. And I thought it was good. And I have to say, Chad, your character was a really difficult character to play, I think, because, you know, you had to be, I mean, you guys had things that you could zero in on. It was difficult, but there was also a lot of release in what you were doing. And your character, Chad, had to actually really wrestle with what the hell is right in the world today and what's wrong. And even frankly, even the thing that you always never even thought of, your character never even thought of, was the fact that, you know, here you are, a white guy who, by virtue of being white, gets a certain amount of privilege, you know, and you don't have to worry about this stuff. And even the way that it plays out where the people that are your managers or whatever are actually always coming to you and talking to you about the, you know, what's going on. Yeah, and everybody else is sort of, whoa, you know. But it's really, to me, it's just really incredibly important that this all came out in the way that it did. And I really recommend that people see it. It's a play not to be missed. So I want to thank each and every one of you for coming.
Thank you for having us.
Sure.
Appreciate that.
And I'm really glad it's there. And I'm going to get as many people as I can. And they're already, I'm being called on. It's fundraising time. And so we're going to have to wrap this up. But thank you very much for joining us here.
Thank you.
All right. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you.
Yes.
Okay.